Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to start reading at verse number 8. For if these things be in you at abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again today I want to thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. I thank you so much, Father, that you've provided it for us. You've left it here for us. It is your Word. It's true. And Lord, that you've given it to us. And Lord, you also then, the Holy Spirit of God, works within us and helps us to understand your precious Word. And I thank you for that. So tonight I ask you, God, to help us as we look at some scripture tonight. Lord, truths from your Word, especially one simple truth, we ask your help. Lord, you help us as we divide the Word of God, and help us, Lord, to understand it, and Lord, be enlightened by it, and to be encouraged certainly by thy Word. And we'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to skip over verse number 8 and 9. We more than likely will come back to that next week and cover it, but I want to center our message tonight on verse number 10. And we want to look at that and I'll reread it. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. As you remember, as we started our study in 2 Peter, the first four verses deals with that which God has already given us. He's given us some things. We used the illustration last week, or I think it was last week, no, it was week before, about Brother Jack here being a farmer, and if he had did not have any land, he did not have any utensils, he did not have any seed, he did not have nothing to farm with, we'd tell him to go out and farm. Would be silly because he could not do it. It's the same thing in the Christian life. We want to make sure that we have that which God has given us, or it's an impossibility to live the Christian life. It's impossible. Telling someone to go add to their faith the things that we looked at in verse number 5 and 6 and 7, to tell them to add that to their faith when they have no faith, cannot be accomplished. Now that was what Peter was explaining to us. It's an impossibility to do it, you see. I believe tonight, even though many of our, what I would say, mature Christians are here, you're the people here on Wednesday night to hear the study of the Word of God, and that's very, very important, but we're going to deal with the subject that God says to make sure of your calling and election. Make sure of it. And I believe that's one of the greatest needs in the church today. You see, as you sit there, and this is not anything to make you feel bad, as you sit there, I cannot in any way know what you feel inside on a day-to-day basis. And that's all right. I don't have to know that. But you alone know the spiritual life you have and the battles you fight. And let me say to you, sometimes the doubts that come into your heart. You alone know that. And what God is wanting to do through the Scripture is to help you and I not to have to be in a position where we are constantly doubting our salvation. He said you should make your calling and election sure. Now the reason he is bringing this down in verse 10. He's already added some things back here that we will look at again, but he's added some things in verse 5 through 7. He says, that's why I want you to add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience, and I'll have to look at the rest of them. But he wants you to add to your faith those things. Why is it so important that you add to your faith? So that you can make your calling and election sure. You have the assurance of your salvation. Now, folks, if you think that this pastor don't understand for a moment old Satan's devices and how he works on God's people and works time and time again trying to make them even feel like they're not children of God, you must understand, I understand that. I have personally been there. Now, I've heard people say they've never doubted their salvation since they got saved, and that's wonderful. I mean, I think it's wonderful, but I have. I'm just telling you, I'm being honest with you. Now, if you haven't, that's a wonderful thing, but the reason I say that, it's Satan working and putting doubt in our hearts concerning our salvation. I would dare say most people in here today, most people, if I would ask you, has there ever been a time in your Christian life where you really had some doubt about whether you was really saved or not, I think more than likely most people would raise their hand and say to me, yes, there's been times. And God is saying to us, He wants us to nail this thing down. And part of the reason for that, if you'll notice in verse number 10, He says at the end of it, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Well, what things is He talking about? He's talking about those things in verse 5, 6, and 7. First of all, verse 1 through 4, He's talking about what God has done for us, that God has given us that eternal life. But in verse number 5, 6, and 7, He begins to talk about the things that we are to add to our faith. And if you'll notice, in verse number 8, into number 10, look at that, He says, for if you do these things. What's He talking about? Well, look at verse number 8. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but he that lacketh what? These things is blind. He said he's blind and cannot see afar off. And he's talking about these things. He's talking about the things that you're to add to your faith. You see, you don't want to be someone who says, I got saved, and I'm not going to grow, I'm not going to do anything like that, I'm not going to add anything to my faith, I'm just going to be the way I am. You have doubts of your salvation the rest of your life. Because growth and the things that he's talking about here is something that helps to bring assurance. You see, I think we talked about that when we began 2 Peter. But if you remember, I talked about 1 Peter. 1 Peter is a book that basically deals with the attacks from without the church. The attacking the church, but it's from without. 2 Peter is a book that deals with the attacks from within the church. And in chapter number 2, you will notice it is just consistently, chapter 2 is talking about the false prophets, the false teachers, the false teaching. All of chapter 2 is dealing with that subject. So these people have been thrown by some of these false teachings. You see, that's why I can tell you today, it's so serious when so many churches out there that are teaching that you can lose your salvation. Now listen, let me guarantee you something. Those people that are telling you you can lose your salvation, you'll never find them out soul winning. You'll never find them out soul winning. The Pentecostal people do not go out soul winning. They go out proselyting. But they do not go out soul winning. They don't even have the assurance of their salvation themselves. See, how could you go out and soul win and tell someone, boy, you need Christ. Now, you may lose him if you get him. Or you may lose him 3 or 4 times. You may have to get him again. Now, how is anybody going out soul winning that has that philosophy and that teaching? They're not going to. Now, they'll proselyte. They'll try to proselyte the Baptists and everybody else. But you don't go to find them going on door-to-door, knocking on the door and saying, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. And many of the churches of today, you find that same thing. You do not find very many people in churches today that'll go out and just simply sit down with a Bible and say, this is how to be saved. This is what the Scripture says. And one of the main reasons for that is they have no assurance themselves. I am not saying they all are not saved, but they have no assurance of that salvation. What God is saying to us is we need to make our calling and election sure. You see, that needs to be in you. Isn't that a peace that you need? You know you do. You need that peace of God, you see. But Satan doesn't want you to have that peace. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to wonder. Every little thing you do, he wants to accuse you. And he wants to see to it that you think you're not saved and fight that battle all the time. Well, you won't be an effective witness if you fight that all the time. You will not be an effective witness for Christ. You see what I'm saying? And so that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing them. He wanted them to understand something. Now, in verse 1 that we already studied, but in verse number 1, he wanted them to understand they have obtained this faith. Folks, they didn't conjure it up. They didn't get it by themselves. Look at verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. How? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You see, he wanted them to understand this is something that was given to them. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. The faith that you had to get saved was a gift of God. For you to get saved. It isn't something you conjured up. Oh, I had such great faith. God had to save me. No, God even gave you the faith to get saved. And you was willing to take that faith and apply it and say, I believe. But God gave you the faith to believe. So again, I'm saying, you see, the calling and election that God is dealing with in verse number 10 is God's work. That is not your work. You did not call yourself. You did not elect yourself. That's God's work. You did not, and man cannot regenerate himself. Man cannot give life to himself. Man cannot quicken himself when he was dead. Man cannot give himself a new birth. That's God's work. And it's only God's work. And it can't be given by man. It can't be conjured up by man, you see. It has to come from God Almighty. So what's he telling us? Well, he's telling us that we can be sure of our salvation. Now, folks, all through the Scriptures, and we're not going to look at all of the Scriptures tonight. We can't do that, but I want you to know something. Through the Scriptures, the teaching of the fact that salvation is ours, and it's there for eternity. It belongs to us, and we can have the assurance of salvation is taught throughout the Word of God. And God wants you to know it. You say, well, Brother Ross, you know, I fight some battles on that sometime. Well, I want to tell you, this was not written to a group of people who were not fighting some battles. Why in the world do you think God had this wrote? Why did he have Peter write it and put it down on paper? It was because this was ordinary, if there is such a thing, this was just ordinary Christians who was fighting some of these battles, and these false teachings that was coming into the church was bothering them, and they didn't know how to handle them, and so it was bothering them, and so they was doubting, and they needed to be sure of their calling and the election of God in their life. They needed that above anything. And let me say to you, I think it's one of the things that has really hindered the church today is too many Christians do not have that assurance. Now, if you'd walk up to them and say, are you saved? They'd probably say yes. But they fight a battle. Constantly a battle that's there, back and forth. Am I really saved? Am I really God's child? Well, you need to get that settled. Doesn't mean you're not God's child. You just need to get that settled and make sure of that calling and election of God. And make sure it's yours. So you can go on for the Lord, you see. Over in 1 John, not very far over, 1 John, the 5th chapter. I'm just going to read one verse right now. He's in verse number 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I, in my Bible, that's a wonderful verse. I highlighted it, but I have one word underlined. And that word is know. Now, you can do it however you want to. You can underline the whole thing. It won't make a difference. But I personally chose to underline that one word that says that ye may know that you have eternal life. You see, God wants you and I to know it. Satan doesn't. wants you to know it. He wants you to doubt about it, you see. So what he's saying here is this thing on eternal life, God is telling us that we can know that we have eternal life. In fact, that's what God wants us to know. He wants us to know that, you see. I believe some. I believe a church who are filled with people who know they have eternal life is a church that will be alive and confident. They can walk out of those doors back there on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, and they go out into that world knowing that they are a child of God Almighty, and they have a confidence about them that they can go out there and tell other people about that wonderful truth. It's a church that'll be alive. A church that doesn't have that assurance of eternal life will be, to some degree, a dead church, because there won't be any life or encouragement or confidence in that church. And you see, when God saves, He saves forever. He saves for eternity. He gives eternal life. He doesn't give life for a day or a week or a month or a year. He gives eternal life. Amen? Forever. You see, that's God's business. Your business is not giving yourself eternal life. You can't do it. That's God's business. It's a gift of God, you see, that He gives to us, you see. Let me ask you a question. I don't ask that you answer it, but I want to ask you a question. If someone would walk up to you and say to you, look you in the eye and say to you, do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know that? What would go through your heart? What would go through your mind? I'm not asking you to answer that. But do you know that God has washed away your sins? And they're gone. Do you know that? Well, you ought to. God wants you to. God wants you to know that. Now, how is it that we should... Before I do that, let's go back over to First John. Should have had you keep that. I want you to see this wonderful verse. 1 John 5, and I'm going to read verse 11 this time. This is a wonderful portion of Scripture. We could read it all, but I'm going to center in on that verse of Scripture, verse number 11. He says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. You see, God gave to us eternal life. That's the record left. God gave us eternal life. And where do you find that life? In His Son, Jesus Christ. You don't find it anyplace else. That's God's gift to us, and it's eternal life that He gives us, you see. Now, how should we react to this truth? First of all, let me say to you, the joy of knowing that we are saved, that we are God's child, will not leave us with some braggadocious attitude. To know that you have eternal life is a very humbling experience. To think that God loved you and I enough to send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. That's humbling. We won't be out here boasting and bragging in a braggadocious way about, yeah, I've got eternal life. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. It'll be a humble spirit that says, oh, by the grace of God, I'm saved. By God's wonderful grace, I am what I am by the grace of God, nothing else. We can't brag about anything. There's nothing to brag about. It's all on Jesus. It's all what He done for us. And that's what'll be in the spirit of a man who's born again. It's a humbling experience to think that God, the Creator of all things, sent His Son to die the horrible death on the cross of Calvary for you and I. That's humbling. You see, and what it'll do, I believe, will leave us with a spirit of thanksgiving. Oh, God, I don't know why you done it, maybe, but thank you for doing it. Thank you for loving me enough to just die for me and make me ready for heaven. Amen. I mean, isn't that something that's, you know, that just really is humbling and something to be thankful for and grateful for? That God would give us eternal life when we didn't deserve it, but He did it anyway. He just loved us and saved us by the grace of God. That's amazing, you see. That's a marvelous thing, you see. There are some people thinks it's presumptuous to say, I have eternal life. I'm going to live forever. And I hear this all the time. How could I don't think anybody knows that they're going to heaven. Now, folks, you ever heard that? Well, I've heard that so many times in my life. We're not saying we're going to heaven because we're bragging. We're saying we're going to heaven because God was so good to us. He died on the cross for us. We're going to heaven because Jesus provided the way for us. You see, so it's not presumptuous to say, I have eternal life. I have eternal life. It's mine. God gave it to me. Amen. That's a marvelous, see, that's a wonderful thing. In fact, that wonderful truth is a truth that honors God. When we could say that we have eternal life and God gave us that eternal life and He keeps us forever, can you imagine what an honor that is to the Lord who can keep us, not only save us, but keep us forever? Oh, that honors our God. That dishonors God to say, well, I think I can lose my salvation. That's a dishonor. That's a blasphemous statement. Horrible thing to say that you can lose your salvation once God saved you. You're not picking on you then. You're picking on God. Because it is up to you to keep your salvation. It's up to God to keep you. Amen. So you're saying God isn't strong enough to keep me. Oh, no, 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 no. That which He saves, He keeps. Another thing is that people do is they look at their sins. We'll deal with this just a little bit later, but they look at their sins and they look at themselves, and because they're not perfect, they don't have the assurance of salvation. They see themselves doing things that are not scriptural. They see them doing things and maybe saying things and acting in a way that you know that God would not want you to act. And so all at once doubts begin to crop in on your salvation. You begin to wonder and doubt about salvation. Let me just say this to you. Are you doubting that God saved you, or are you just doubting that you did the right thing? You know, a man early in my Christian life said this to me that helped me because I was having doubts of salvation. It was after I was saved for a little while, and I was wondering, did I really get saved? And he said, I want to ask you a question. Do you doubt that Jesus died for you? Do you doubt that God has provided salvation for you? Do you doubt that God would save you? And I said, oh, no, no. I said, I really don't. I don't doubt that God would do all those things. He said, who are you doubting then? And he said, are you doubting maybe you said not the right words? Or that you didn't do it in the right proper place, the right location? And I said, well, I'm just really wondering if He would really save me, and here I am not like I ought to be. He said, see, you're not doubting God, you're doubting yourself. And he said, anytime you look to self, you're in trouble. You're in real trouble. Because self can't handle it. Self can't do it. But God can. In spite of us, God saves us and gives us eternal life, you see. And so God wants you to know that and to have that sweet assurance that you're God's child. Now, why in the world should we have this assurance? Why should we want it, or why should we have it? First of all, simply because God wants us to have it. God offers it to us. I want to take you over to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. I want you to listen as I read these verses of Scripture. My Bible's not turning. There it goes. 8th chapter, and I want to look at verse number 35. You're familiar with these verses of Scripture, but listen to what it's saying as we read it. Listen very carefully to what God Almighty is saying to us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, if you're saved, you're God's child, you put your faith and trust in Christ, there is absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. Impossible. He names all these things, and boy, it covers the whole spectrum. And he's saying, and he's saying, there is not one thing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, that's a wonderful portion of Scripture. That's a tremendous portion of Scripture. You look at that. You say, well, Brother Ross, I know I was saved. If you know you were saved, you're saved. Because there's nothing can separate you. See, the problem is, in verse number 5, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In other words, have we been born again? Have we been saved? Do we know we have eternal life? Are we God's child? If so, we'll be his forever. And God wants you and I to know that and grasp a hold of that and have that calling and election. Sure, God called you to salvation. God elected you to salvation. You're his, and he wants you to know you're his forever. Forever and ever. God wants you. Don't look at self. Look at God and what he did. Amen. Looking at self is very discouraging. Oh, it'll give you heartaches. Amen. It will. You see, but looking at Christ, see, looking at Christ is where our faith is supposed to be. So God offers it to us, you see. And basically, when we look at the lack of assurance, it shows that our faith is not fully developed. When there's doubts that come into our faith and we wonder and fret, our faith is not fully developed, you see, as God wants it to. And that's why he said back here, let's add to your faith these things. And we'll talk about them in just a moment. But let's add to your faith these things. Why? So when you do these things, there'll be an assurance and an understanding that you're God's child and you're his forever. You see, God wants that. I want to take you to a portion of Scripture over in the book of Mark. That's an interesting portion of Scripture, the 8th chapter of the book of Mark. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but I want to show you. Now, it's an incident that happened in verse number 22, chapter 8 of Mark. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. First of all, when he looked, he saw men as trees were walking, blurry. Said it looks like trees walking around. Jesus then put his hands upon him again and helped him, and he saw everything clearly. I believe that that's where we are when we begin to doubt our salvation. We're looking at things as though we're seeing trees walking. We're not seeing things very clearly. But God wants to help you to understand and see clearly that by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are God's child, and you can see clearly that wonderful truth, and you can know it for the rest of your life. And you can put old Satan on the run when he brings those doubts and heartaches into your heart. You can put him on the run and say, but this is what the Scripture says. This is what the Word of God says, you see. If we have doubt, let me say this to you. I think I mentioned it earlier, but if we have doubt, we're going to have trouble telling other people how to get saved. It's one of the reasons we don't give forth our testimony very much. telling people we're saved, telling people they need to be saved. A lot of times it's because people have doubt themselves whether they're saved or not, you see. But when a person walks with confidence, let me say something to you, it affects others. And the world needs to see a group of Christians that have the confidence that they're God's child and they will be forever. The world needs to see that, you see. And let me say to you also, that's what the church needs. The church needs a vibrant Christianity that goes forth from the walls of this church saying, I'm God's child. Not in braggadocious manner, but I'm God's child. I'm saved because of the grace of God. Years ago, up here right around the corner, not too far from where Frank Mumol is back this way, there was a fellow who lived in a trailer there. We visited him more than once. I cannot remember the man's name, but visited more than once. And he'd tell me every time the story that the reason he knew he was all right with God is he was a truck driver and he seen Jesus along the way, along the highway. He said, I seen Jesus. And I don't doubt he seen something, but it wasn't Jesus. And that was his reasoning for knowing he was all right with God. He died in a fire not too long after that, too many months after that. He died in a fire up there. He's in a trailer. The trailer caught on fire and he couldn't get out and he died. But his whole thing was, I seen Jesus along the road there. I was driving the truck and seen Jesus. And he said that, so I know I'm all right with God. No. That's not why you know you're all right with God. It's not some vision you've seen or some experience that you've experienced. It's knowing Jesus and knowing the Scriptures and knowing that you are God's child because the Scripture says you put your faith in the right person, you've accepted Him as your personal Savior, and you're God's child because the Scripture says you're God's child. See? And you're, by faith, you accept the truth of the Word of God. See, so that's why it's so important to, and I'm going to use the word furnish, your faith. You know, when you move into a house, you got a house, it's yours, but you set about to furnish it. Set about to put some things in it. You put a couch in it and some, maybe a dining room table and some beds and things like that that furnish your house. God said, I want you to do your faith the same way. He said, when you get saved, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I want you to add to that faith some virtue. I want you to put that in your house of faith. I want you to add to that some, and we talked about that virtue was an active faith. It was not a faith that just sat around and didn't experience anything, didn't do anything, just sat around waiting for something to stir them. No, an active faith, virtue will cause you to go out and do something, and your faith will go forward, and it'll be an active faith. But God says you ought to take that active faith, and He said you ought to add to it knowledge. You remember we talked about don't be walking in false zeal, but learn how to be a good testimony. Learn how to use that active faith to the glory of God. Then he also talks about temperance and how we ought to be careful and be temperate in the things of this life. He talks about also patience, and we talked about the patient endurance, just going on. Add to your faith that just go on. Do it every day. Just go on. Patient endurance. See, he said add to your faith that, you see. And then he talked about godliness. And I believe there he's talking about in our relationship with God Almighty, have a right relationship with God Almighty, because the next two words is brotherly kindness. Talking about our relationship with God, have a right relationship with God, but also have a right relationship with our brethren. Amen. Folks, listen, that is one of the things that's destroying churches and destroying Christians. There's not a right relationship with brethren. Oh, no. Brethren fight. They bicker. They strife. It goes on all the time. One's mad at another. One's mad at this person. One's mad at that person. They can't get along. Baloney. You can too. You absolutely can get along. You just do it. Because you add to your faith that. Amen. You add to your faith that. And then, of course, the one that wound it all up was charity. So what God is saying is simply this. You're saved, you want to make your election, your calling and election sure. You want to add to your faith these things. You add to your faith these things. You see, that doesn't save you. Nothing saves you but Christ. Amen. Nothing. But You add to your faith so that you can have that assurance of your salvation. When you see that beginning to develop in your life, you can say, look what God is doing in my life. That's not being saved again. That's just simply showing forth that you are saved. And God said, add these things to your faith, you see. Now what I want to do is this. I want to give you a list of scriptures. If you want to pin them down, I want to give you something to do. See, I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know if you fight the battle we've talked about tonight. I really don't know. I don't know that, what goes on the inside. You see, on a daily basis, I don't know what battles you fight. But I just want to give you some list of scriptures, okay? And I want you to write them down, if you will, please. And then I'll tell you what I want you to do with them. Romans 8, chapter, verse 35 through 39. 1 John 5, chapter, verse 9 through 13. The Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, verse 30 and 31. John, the 5th chapter, verse 24. John, the 3rd chapter, verse 36. John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16. John, the 10th chapter, verse 27 through 29. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. See, as I said, I don't know the battles you fight. Does anybody get those? You need me to read them again? Anybody need me to read? Let me read them again. Romans 8, verse 35 through 39. 1 John, 5th chapter, 9 through 13. John, the 20th chapter, verse 30 through 31. John, the 5th chapter, verse 24. John, the 3rd chapter, verse 36. John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16. John, the 10th chapter, verse 27 through 29. Now here's what I ask you to do. If you have trouble, problems with old Satan putting doubts in your heart about salvation, you fight that battle from time to time. What I would like for you to do is get your Bible, and I want you to sit down sometime when no one else is around, or you're, at least you're not interrupted by anyone. I want you to take these scriptures, and I want you to read them. And I want you to let God speak to your heart. And let Him speak to you through these scriptures and believe what God says in His Word about salvation. And that it is eternal. And then believe Him. Don't believe other people or yourself or old Satan. On the other hand, as you're reading, open up your heart and say, God, if I am not saved, please show me. You'll know in these scriptures, God can bear witness in these scriptures that you're the child of God because you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You're not putting your faith and trust in you. You're not putting it in something else. You're putting it in Jesus Christ, the wonderful Savior who died for you. Believe the scriptures. Now, there's multitudes of other scriptures that we could look at. I just picked those out. And I said, look at them, read it, and read them slowly. And just let God speak to your heart. Look at what it says in those verses of Scripture. Remember Romans 8, chapter 35 through 39? Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. And read all those things that God lists that says these things, it's impossible for them to separate us from the love of God. Read them and believe them. Trust them. Amen? So that you'll have the assurance of your salvation. God wants you and I to have our calling and election made sure. Amen? And you need to do that. You, every single person, needs to do that. If you're having doubts, see, I don't know, you may not be having doubts, and that's wonderful. You know, that's fine. But if you are, if you fight these battles, sit down with a scripture. I told them in chapel today, I believe one of the greatest needs, I believe this, one of the greatest needs is for Christians to get a hold of their Bible and go off somewhere, whether it's a day or a half a day or for a couple hours, and just read some of the Word of God and let God speak to them. We get in such a busy schedule, going all the time, we don't have time to just let God speak to us. And we get all in a mess. Sometimes we get backslidden away from God and all these things. What we need to do to get back with God is just get alone with the Word and let it just read it and let Him do something in our hearts with it. You know, sometimes that's all that's really needed. You just get alone with the Lord and let Him speak to you through the Bible, the Word of God, and just spend some time letting Him talk to you. I'm saying to you again today, if that is a problem in your heart, you see, because I know it is a life, but they fight this battle. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Did I do it right? Well, believe the Scripture. Believe what God says. Amen. Get that assurance. Heavenly Father, again, thank you today for the Word of God. And Lord, thank you for this wonderful, precious Bible that tells us and assures us, Lord, through the Scripture, that by placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are your child. Lord, we certainly are not always what we should be, but we're your child. And you bear witness with us, the Holy Spirit of God bearing witness with us, that we are a child of Almighty God. Because God has called us and elected us to salvation. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.